It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility. So book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It is live and local now all across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. Joining us now from Carson City, he is a guy that has championed education, something we talk about a lot on this program. He is State Senator Scott Hammond, and he joins us. Scott, first of all, thanks for joining us. I know you guys are busy up there. Thanks for taking some time for us.
Anything. Thank you very much for having me on the show this morning. It's great to be with you.
We are into week number 7 of the 80th Nevada Legislature. We were supposed to have a deadline on Monday for bills being entered, and now we find out that that deadline isn't really a deadline. Where are we in that process as far as putting new bills in the hopper?
So, you know, you realize that being in the minority, you don't have a lot of power, but being in the majority, you do. The stroke of a pen, you can move deadlines aside and continue working, which, you know, we've done in the past. There's a precedence for it. Sometimes you just don't get them all out on the first day. However, in this case, the reason why we're behind a little bit is because we had to do a little duck and cover. There's a couple of our members that were removed from office. One of them was removed. The other one self-removed, I suppose you could say. And so a lot of the bills that they had that were their bills and their bills alone, we had to basically we're way behind. We had other bills that we probably need to get through. But for them in particular, we had to make sure that we passed this legislation that allowed us to remove their names, put somebody else's names in there, and keep their bills alive.
I want to ask you, I believe that there is among Democrats, whether it's Mike Sprinkle, whether it's Kelvin Atkinson, whether it's at the local level, Ricky Barlow, there is a culture of corruption that is out there. Kelvin Atkinson. My guess is you probably know Mike Sprinkle. And I'm curious, your impressions of those people, is there a culture of corruption among Democrats in Carson City? And is this just the tip of the iceberg? Are we going to see others that are going to be stepping forward and having to resign?
First of all, I'll say that I've heard rumors. I think a lot of people have heard the rumors that there are others that might be in line to also be removed or asked to step aside. I don't know for sure. There's just rumors, and I'm not going to speculate on who they are. But the culture that you're talking about, I don't know if it's a culture of, I think it's a culture that has been born of self-importance. They think that they're perhaps better than others, that they put on an air of, I'm in this office and I deserve this office and I will act accordingly to that. Not everybody does that, but there is that sense of entitlement that's going on. I mean, you look at this past week, we've had two federal officers come in, two federal office holders come in. Jackie Rosen, Senator Rosen came in on Monday. Last night was Representative Dita Titus. They both came in and they gave great remarks in, when it came to the new majority female legislature, and in particular extolled the abilities of Nicole Cannizzaro, who is the new Senate Majority Leader. They kept talking about her, but they don't mention why she's in the position she's in. She is the first female Senate Majority Leader in the history of Nevada, and that is great. She is capable. But they don't talk about why she's there. The fact that Kelvin Atkinson, in his speech that he gave when he resigned, I think indicated a little bit about sort of that mentality, because if you look at one of the first sentences up at the top of his speech, he actually said, "Regretfully, it has been discovered that I have used campaign dollars for personal use." That is probably the worst first sentence of a, hey, I'm stepping down, I did some bad stuff, but unfortunately it was discovered that I did some bad stuff because I don't think I would have come out and told anybody about it. That sort of mentality that I see time and time again, that they feel like their self-importance is more important than the job. But that's not all legislators. Unfortunately, that's the perception that people are going to have now because this keeps happening, that they feel invincible, that they can get away with stuff, and that they're self-important, and they're so self-important that nobody will call them out on the bad stuff. And we all know that's not true. They're going to get caught. They're going to get caught eventually, and things like this are going to happen. It reflects poorly on those of us who are left behind. You know, those of us who are doing our jobs, putting in hours and hours of work up here in the legislature, trying to get bills through that we believe are important, important for the state, important for our constituency.
One of those areas that I know you are very interested in, and that is education. We are into week 7 of the 80th Nevada Legislature, and we're still waiting to see what's going to happen with opportunity scholarships. You know the history of opportunity scholarships. It was $20 million that was thrown in at the last minute. And it's supposed to make everybody feel better about ESA's Education Savings Account. I'll tell you this, Scott, it does not make me feel any better. I'm happy for the program. But the one thing we do know is the program works. We've seen it move the needle. And I'm curious, where are we in the process of trying to get that $20 million, maybe more, into opportunity scholarships?
Well, my Senate Republican colleague, Senator Gansert from Reno, she's introduced the bill. It was dropped on the deadline, the one that we actually had on Monday. So she dropped the bill, and it basically asked for the $20 million to be reinstated, put into the program, along with a few other technical changes where, you know, we're trying to make the program a little bit better. But you're right, this program is essential. It's needed, and it actually is proving to be something of real worth. It changes lives, and we have to go out there and show our Democratic colleagues what it's doing. Many of them know because, for the most part, the children that it is affecting are children in those communities that they represent. So they know it's working. If this is a robust program, eventually when the ESA programs are funded, they can be used jointly. So somebody who qualifies for an opportunity scholarship and qualifies for an ESA, they'll be able to put that money together and affect real change there. We all know the polls are coming out. Surveys are being done all the time. 73 to 74% of Nevadans across a wide spectrum, they want school choice. They love ESAs. They love the opportunities that they bring, the flexibility, the customization that comes along with them. They see that education and the delivery of education is going to change. You see it all the time, the technology that's being developed. This will be revolutionary. This is, if we can get this through and we can actually have a really robust education system, you'll see major changes in the way we conduct education in the state of Nevada.
Do you see somewhere down the road ESAs being able to be fully funded?
Oh, I do. I do. I see that because all it takes is people to really back that up. And so now I've got to go out and do the work. And we've started doing that. We need to go out into all these communities and explain to them exactly what an ESA does. It's grinding work. it's really important work. You have to go out there into these neighborhoods, these communities, and you have to show them what an ESA does. And when you show them, they will start demanding more vocally their need for this program. And pretty soon, their representatives will not be able to ignore them.
Any other education bills? I know the one that really scares me is the prevailing wage bill, because it's going to make buildings on school campuses that much more expensive. Where are we on prevailing wage? Whoops. Scott Hammond, are you there? We'll try and get Scott back. In fact, hey, what let's do. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get Scott Hammond back. We'll do that coming up. You want to join us? Always love talking about education, and when Scott Hammond's on, we always talk about education. We'll get to that and more coming up live and local now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm the sun, and I'm confused. On most days, you're all, oh, I love the sun, it's the best. But when you're driving, you're like, wah, the sun's in my eyes. What do you want from me? I shine when I shine. Like right now, you're driving around a curve in the highway. I hit you square in the face and you don't see the car in front of you stop short. And if you've got cut rate insurance, well, that's not too bright. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Are you in good hands?
Call Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation. Let Sam Peters make sure you have the insurance protection you need at a price you can afford. To get a quote today, call Sam at 702-870-4000. That's 870-4000. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
This is Amy Emanuel, your Republican candidate for Las Vegas City Council Ward 1. I was raised with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and monetary responsibility. Las Vegas wants a representative that will support small business and spur job growth, promote pedestrian safety, and tackle our chronic homeless issue. I have the integrity and necessary experience to do this job. Please support me at the polls this April 2nd. A vote for Amy Emanuel will guarantee another conservative voice on the Las Vegas City Council, paid for and authorized by Committee to Elect Amy Emanuel.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Connected with State Senator Scott Hammond, joining us from Carson City, and we were rudely interrupted about prevailing wage, which to me dramatically impacts the amount of school buildings we can build and rehab and things like that. And where are we in the process with that legislation?
I believe it's making its way through the Assembly actually right now, and I'm not sure exactly where it is. I think it's been heard in committee, but I don't know if there's been any action. And I'm worried about it. You know, this is stuff that we changed in 2015 out of concern for the number of schools we were going to be needing and the number of seats. And it's not just schools. It's, you know, basically they have changed the language. They've lowered the threshold. So anytime you have projects that reach a certain number, I think the number right now is 250,000, which it's not that hard to get. So if you're a charter school, and you've bought the school, and you know you've gone to the bonding method, and you actually the board now owns the school. If you go and make improvements to the property, to the school, and it reaches $250,000, now you're talking about almost doubling the amount of money you're going to have to pay for those either repairs or improvements or additions to the school. That's why I'm very concerned about that, because in the next 10 years, we're going to need about 250,000 new seats in schools, whether they're public schools, public private school, or public charter schools, private schools. It doesn't matter. They're going to need more seats, going to be that many more children. And I think it's going to exponentially raise the cost. That's very concerning to me.
Let me ask you about another bill that has been up. Ivana Cancela from Las Vegas has been very busy. She's a radical Democrat, union organizer. She has a bill, SB 179, which had initially proposed to remove the state's parental notification law. Can you tell us where we are? We understand there have been amendments, and that the bill has changed rather dramatically just in the span of just about a week. Can you talk about that bill, SB 179, and how dangerous is it when a 12 or 13 year old girl, if she needs an aspirin from the school nurse, needs a parental notification and or consent, but if she wants an abortion, she doesn't get any of that. Can you talk a little bit about SB 179, why it's dangerous?
Well, certainly. 179 was heard the other day. It was on Monday that we actually heard the bill. It was not an easy one for me. It brings up a lot of emotion. And, you know, I'm an adoptive father. And so that was difficult. Ivana Cancela, Senator Cancela, has brought the bill. She's brought amendments. She's basically trying to get to the part where we're just decriminalizing the act of abortion, so we're not putting women at risk of being arrested at some point. Kind of trying to make sure the language is there in case Roe v. Wade is removed. That being said, the language is still problematic, and having a hearing, we're allowed to sort of extract what some of the problems are. Right away, Senator Hardy, he asked, because there is no definition in the bill of who a woman is. It doesn't define who a woman is, but in Section 1, right away, it starts talking about the ability of a woman to receive this procedure, this an abortion. And so, you kind of want to make sure that we're not talking about a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old. Is it you're a woman once you start your monthly period? That kind of stuff. That's kind of the crux of that particular question. And that's the beauty of having a committee hearing, is that you get to draw these things out. For me, it was about the word written. Written consent. Throughout the bill in sections 2 and especially in section 3, it strikes the word written. It actually removes the word from the woman, written consent of the woman. And so I'm worried, and Senator Kinsella is trying to get answers for us that would explain to us, you know, what the intent of the bill is in that regard, because the language is stricken. But for me overall, it was a very long hearing, a lot of people, a lot of folks testifying on both sides, and I have to say, very courageous people on both sides coming out and telling stories, explaining why they oppose. For me, it was really hard as an adoptive father to sit there and listen to women who wanted to, they're advocating for the ability to kill off a very healthy baby, and again, their stories were heart wrenching, and I understand what Ivana Kinsella is trying to accomplish, but. You know, for me, sitting there as a father, listening to these stories, I can't help but think about the courageous women who choose to carry their pregnancies to full term, and in some cases, in the most loving manner possible, hand that child over to a couple who are willing to raise that child and give it all the love and attention and abilities that they possibly can, because at that particular moment in that woman's history, in that woman's life, she can't do it. We have had the honor to be associated with 3 wonderful birth mothers. A lot of people don't understand, don't give them the credit that they need, but they did the toughest thing possible. And I get that abortion is available. The horse is out of the barn. What I would like to do is spend all my time and effort to make sure that women know what consequences come from abortion and what the alternative can be, because there's nothing more beautiful than waking up and seeing my children smiling and laughing, and it's a constant reminder of how important life is. And that's why it was really hard on me to have to listen to that rhetoric and to the testimony on both sides. And like I said, I was impressed by those who testified for the bill and against the bill, but those are my thoughts the whole time.
Again, joining us, State Senator Scott Hammond. In our final minute, there are a lot of people out there worried about what's going to be happening in Carson City between now and the first week of June. What is there that people can actually do, that voters can actually do relative to the legislation that's being put through right now?
Well, right now we are very active. The Senate Republicans are very active, making sure people know what our legislation is that we're pushing, that we're trying to get passed, as well as the Assembly. They're trying to do that. We're putting a lot of stuff out there on social media. We'd really love for people to give that attention. Make sure that that's what kind of moves the needle. You know, people pay attention to what the voters like and what they don't like. That actually has a lot of sway over what we do.
Scott, it's always good to visit with you. I know you're working hard in Carson City for your constituents. Thanks so much. If folks want to reach out to you, if they want to find out more about what you're up to, where do they go?
They can always hit up my website, which is Hammond. Go online. I'm not sure exactly if they can. They can call me in my office. My cell number actually is the best way to get a hold of me. 702-523-9055. They can text me. Let me know that they're concerned about something, and I will answer.
Sounds good. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you.
Keep fighting the good fight. Scott Hammond, state senator from Las Vegas, joining us live and local now. Coming up, it has been a major controversy in Pahrump. Valley Electric Association. Yeah. I don't know. Are people going to go to jail? I don't know. We're going to find out. Joining us, coming up, Richard Peck, Dick Peck, interim CEO of Valley Electric Association, the VEA. He'll join us in studio, and he'll tell us what has happened and what is going to be happening relative to Valley Electric Association. We'll do that and more coming up live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. It is a major story in Pahrump. It has been resonating around the state in just the last couple of weeks because a public arrest of CEO Angela Evans of Valley Electric Association. The new interim is Dick Peck, and he is joining us. First of all, for those that are not living in Pahrump, they're just not aware of it. What is Valley Electric Association? What do you do?
I am the new CEO. Valley Electric Association is a rural electric cooperative, one of around 900 in America. It is a company that is owned by the users of their service called members. And again, very open membership. And again, the issues are really, really unique. Do you want me to say anything about myself, Kevin?
Mainly, how did you become the new interim?
Well, I have a well-known reputation with the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, and Valley Electric's board reached out to the National Association where somebody can step in with a lot of credentials that's dealt with tough issues and tough problems. That's really what I've been involved with for the last 20 years, walking into to a rural electric cooperative that has a lot of political and financial issues, and I give the board good training and education how to resolve their issues and do the one thing that's so important, be transparent and open to the owners, the membership of the corporation, so that they can see for themselves the real issues that are going on.
Okay, why was the former interim CEO Angela Evans arrested?
Well, this is alleged charge of embezzlement. I will tell you only this. I can't discuss in great details, but there are no charges been filed against Angela Evans by the Nye County Sheriff at this point in time.
I know that a lot of your members are a little upset. There is a proposed 9% rate increase. Now, that may not seem like a lot, but for folks on a fixed income and others, that could be a major piece of change.
Well, Kevin, one of the more interesting things, and basically the board made some really tactical errors and mistakes. They made a promise that no rural electric board can really keep. They said they're going to have rate stability till 2024. That was an unfortunate error and a mistake that they recognize now that they really should not have made that promise to the membership. I will say this, over the last 10 years, there have been no increases. And yet again, if you take a look at the cost of living and the cost of this, it's been pretty doggone high. And therefore, somebody needed to take a look at and make sure they equated the cost of doing business nowadays with the cost of living.
Now is it your contention that there will not be a 9% needed?
No, there will be. But let me back up because there's more to the 9%. The board, after 2017, realized in 2018 they had financial difficulties going forward with both the organizations that they represent, Valley Transmission Association, Valley Communications Association, and Valley Electric. The boards realized that they could not continue down the existing path, and they had to reduce expenses, and they came up with an annualized expense reduction of $11 million over a year. Plus, that resulted in termination, I think it was 37 employees the 1st of February. So that expense reduction took part, but on top of that, they were still a revenue shortfall, and based on a cost of service study, and which is now online, and the cost of service study showed that they needed to raise revenues 9.9%. But what really angered the membership is they were promised rate stability, and that didn't happen.
So in other words, previous administrations have made promises that you cannot keep.
That is correct.
You've had some public meetings, and I know some of these meetings have gotten a little, shall we say, nasty.
Well, again, but gosh, I thank God I live in America and in a democracy. And again, that's why I really like working in rural America, where the membership have the right to confront their board of directors and make sure that their input is totally taken into consideration. Because the board through the middle of 2018 said there were going to be rate stability, and then they didn't really announce very clearly the reasons for the rate increase, and there was a lack of transparency. There was nothing online that shared with them, board agendas, the cost of service study, the 2017 audit, any of the financials. Nowadays, if you want to know any information at all, it's all going to be on our website. And this is really, really good. And this is the way all cooperatives need to operate to make sure that the membership is getting the information that they need and understand. But no board can guarantee rates. And again, it's this state of Nevada is really, really interesting. And I point out one thing is the tremendous amount of subsidies that are given to solar units within the state. It's some of the highest subsidy rates I've ever seen in the United States. And it's costing, last year, we had 367 solar panel units online, and we paid them approximately $261,000 over above their net metering concept and everything. So again, with that high subsidy rate, again, all the members have to pay for the solar power at purchase power at $111 a megawatt hour versus our normal wholesale power rate is $50 a megawatt hour. It's about 2-to-1 ratio. And again, in business, as you well know, you cannot give subsidized services without somebody else picking up the cost.
Let me just ask you, Valley Electric Association, and I don't want you to stick your foot in your mouth like your predecessors have, but as you look forward, will there be another 9% increase next year?
Not if I can help it. I don't know what wholesale power is going to do to us, which is 50% of our cost, but a lot of steps that the board has taken, very tough decisions, cutting costs by $11 million and then reducing employees, helps keep the downward pressure on. And then other steps, I'm looking at every avenue of our business services, both in the communication side and the electric side. One of the things I saw, we had $5 million of inventory. We don't need in 2019 $5 million of inventory. We need about $400,000. So again, I'm looking at better business practices and helping the current employees do their jobs more efficiently. And again, as we do this, we reduce costs and we'll keep the pressure off for increases.
Dick Peck joining us, interim CEO at Valley Electric Association, rural co-op in Pahrump. And let me just say, is the opposition, the folks that are coming out to these meetings, are they organized in any way? Can you tell if they're organized by
some
group?
Well, my understanding, there was a former employee of Valley Communications, Ken Johnson, and his wife Heather are leading the organization. It's kind of an unstructured organization as opposition. And again, they've been holding meetings in coffee shops and different places to get signatures to recall the Board of Trustees. I've not been to their meetings, but I met with Ken and Heather. And again, I told them that thank God we live in America, it's a democracy. These members have the right to do what they're doing. And I support that.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Dick, it is. I appreciate you coming all the way in and being a part of the show. You'll keep us posted on what's going on?
We sure will. I'd love to be back on, Kevin. And thank you a bunch for having me on the program.
And I know the transparency is a big deal. And maybe the former administration should have been more into transparency. If folks want to know more, if folks, even if they're on the other side of this, if they're not crazy about a 9% rate increase, where can they go? Where can they find the facts?
Well, they can go to valleyelectric.coop, and on our website, go to the board area, the board reports, and you can drill down. And you'll see everything right there. Again, today or tomorrow, we're going to print post-February's financials, which were a little distressful. We lost $1.3 million this month. Last month, we lost about $1.1 million. But these are adjustments to the employee situation that we fully expected. But also, you'll see the budget where by year end, within 30 to 90 days, cash flow changes very positively around. All that information is now on the website. You can have it. If you have any questions about how to interpret the data, call me and I'll go over anything at any time with any member of Valley Electric Association.
His name is Dick Peck. He is the interim CEO of Valley Electric Association. How long are you going to be interim?
I signed a contract, a rolling contract, for 4 months, and I told the board I will not be here more than 1 year.
Very good. Very good. Dick, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it. Dick Peck, the interim CEO, Valley Electric Association. Major controversy in Pahrump and Nye County. It's not done. Trust me, it's not over. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Wednesday. It's Hump Day. It is live and local now.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hi, this is Jackie Thornhill, the president-elect of the Las Vegas Rotary Club. For 96 years, the Las Vegas Rotary Club has taught area youth to succeed through literacy, education, and life skills development. To fund our year-round programs, we hold one major fundraising event each year. This year, the Las Vegas Rotary Club brings together world-class cuisine and high octane. It's a speed and style reception Saturday night, April 27th at Celebrity Cars in Las Vegas at 7770 Dean Martin Drive. Check out classic and exotic cars and motorcycles, enjoy food station pairings, and learn about the amazing work the Rotary does in our community. You're all invited to our world-class speed and style reception benefiting Spread the Word Nevada. Tickets are just $60. Proceeds will stay right here in Southern Nevada and benefit community organization partners. To order tickets, go to LasVegasRotary.com. That's LasVegasRotary.com. And I'll see you Saturday night, April 27th.
I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. In 2017, the state's only funded educational choice program was given an extra $20 million to help low-income kids find better schools. Now Governor Sisolak says he doesn't want to keep that funding in the budget. His plan to slash the program could mean nearly 1,000 low-income students are going to lose their scholarships and be forced back into schools that didn't work for them in the first place. In 2017, the Nevada Teachers Union promised they would roll this program back or even eliminate it. Unless parents start pressuring their lawmakers today, it looks like the union might just have their way. That's why it's more important than ever for parents to let the governor and the legislature know that improving education should mean helping kids get in the classrooms where they can truly succeed, not taking away the very scholarships that make it possible. your voice, your phone call could be what makes a difference. So visit NevadaPolicy.org, sign up for our emails, and you can get involved this legislative session on this issue and all the other issues we're keeping a close eye on in 2019. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. Michael McDonald, chair of the Nevada Republican Party. They are in the midst of collecting signatures, and they want to put a voter ID on the ballot. Let you, the people, decide. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. Also, the state of Nevada. It has taken a blue turn in our legislature. Our elected officials in Washington. Michael McDonald will tell us what's going on to turn that around. We'll do that coming up top of the hour. I wanted to make sure there was a lot of talk about, the John McCain comments. Let's be honest. I think the president was inartful. He does not like John McCain, but sometimes there are people you don't like that you just, you filter what you say, especially when they say don't speak ill of the dead. And John McCain has been dead for, 7 months, I guess? I want you to hear Neil Cavuto, though. This is cut one. Because Neil Cavuto is not always on the president's side. And in fact, he's not on his side in this particular issue. This was Neil Cavuto last night on Fox News Channel. Some rather bizarre comments about John McCain.
He told us hours before that he was going to repeal and replace. And then for some reason, I think I understand the reason, he ended up going thumbs up. And frankly, had we even known that, I think we would have gotten a vote because we could have gotten somebody else. So I think that's disgraceful. Plus, there are other things. I was never a fan of John McCain, and I never will be.
7 months after John McCain is laid to rest, Donald Trump still can't seem to give it a rest. Forget about whether a president, any president, should be doing this. Is this one risking losing a second term if he keeps doing this? Welcome, everybody. I'm Neil Cavuto, and this is Your World. And for a president who has a lot of things going his way, is he the one who is ultimately getting in the way of himself and his party? And a message that on paper, at least, has 7 in 10 Americans saying, you know what? We like what we see, even though they might not flip over the things that Donald Trump will say. Whether he's talking about a deceased senator he clearly doesn't like, or a late-night comedy show he clearly doesn't love, or even a Fox News lineup we're told that he clearly doesn't entirely embrace. So put another way, is the messenger getting in the way of his own message?
That is the question. And by the way, I love the president as much as anybody. I do believe it's getting in the way. I think his approval ratings, instead of being 42%, could be at 52% with an economy roaring the way it is. I honestly believe that if the president backed away a little bit, or at least made the tweeting that he does a little more relevant. I mean, something 7 months ago? Yeah, okay. I would avoid it. I mean, if I were recommending the president, I'd say step away from the Twitter. Not altogether, but make it a strategic part of your day. If there's something you want to promote, use Twitter. If there's something you want to defend, you use Twitter. If all you want to do, if all you want to do is maybe counter what we're hearing from the fake news media, then by all means use Twitter. But to go after somebody who's been dead for 7 months, to me, does not make a lot of sense. It just doesn't. I'm sorry, but it does not. It doesn't make any sense at all. And this is where the president, I think, hurts his own. I mean, that 42% could be 52%, 70%. What was it Neil Cavuto said? 70% of Americans say the economy is just hunky-dory, is just fine. Now, you tell me, is the president being his own worst enemy? Maybe in a sense he is. If I were advising him, I'd say be more strategic with your tweeting. I love the idea of tweeting. I use it to get out my opinion. And the president can do the same thing, but be strategic. That's the simple way of doing it. Tell you what, let's do it. Let's go to your phone calls. You want to join us? You want to be a part of the show? 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. Begin with Calvin. Calvin, you're up and you're on Live and Local now. Go right ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Kevin? I don't think Trump should back away from who he is. He was disgusting when he made the comment when he said he wasn't a hero. Any man, I don't care who he is, whether I vote for him or not. If he's for our country, get shot down and back here, he's a hero. And he should be treated as one. Whether you disagree with him or not, that man is a hero. And Trump should be ashamed of himself.
Oh, we're losing you. Sorry, Calvin. I will say, I think I know what you were saying. Simply put, and then the way I've always described John McCain is that anybody that goes to war and has to deal with the Hanoi Hilton, to me, is a hero. Period. Now, to me, there are two John McCains. There is the John McCain war hero. And then there is the John McCain who was, quote, a maverick. But I'm going to tell you something. The John McCain of the last few years, to me, was no hero. I'm sorry, but he wasn't. Jim in Las Vegas. You're up and you're on Live and Local now. Go right ahead. What's up, man?
I think that he still has the right to go after McCain, even though he's passed, because it's not just about repeal and replace. Yeah, he voted no, but he still tried to torpedo his presidency by giving the dossier to Mueller. And so it's still affecting his presidency today, even though he's been deceased for seven months. So it's not all about the repeal and replace.
Well, okay, but are we both in agreement that he was a war hero as a member of our military fighting in Vietnam?
Absolutely. He was a great American hero military-wise, but as a politician, no. He tried to torpedo the presidency of Donald Trump by the dossier. So, yeah, it is still affecting President Trump. So, yeah, he still should be mad about it.
Hey, I'm glad you called. I thank you. You want to join us? You can. Tell you what, let's do it. Let's go to Will. Will, you're up and you're on Live and Local now. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. I can't find my take speakerphone off button, but hope you can hear me okay.
I can hear you fine.
Two things, if I might. All right, two things. Number one, I disagree with you partially on the McCain thing. Yes, he was a hero, but ladies and gentlemen, some things have times that come and go. McCain killed the ability to kill the Obamacare. The Obamacare was not the Obamacare. It was a revenue stream of forced will, of indenturement, of servitude, perpetrated as a medical plan. These people wanted to subjugate us, and John McCain turned on us in a traitorous mode.
Well, I can tell. I don't disagree with you. And that's why I separate John McCain, the war hero, from John McCain, the legislator. He turned into something very, 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 very bad. And you know, come out and say it. That's fine. Stick around. Michael McDonald will join us next, chairman of the Nevada Republican Party. How do we go about turning our state back to being a red state? We'll do that and more coming up live and local now.
Took me for everything that I had and kicked me out of my...
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of who work together to pay for their medical costs. So you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.